This is the fifth and the final episode in a series of episodes around raising money, raising capital for your self-storage opportunities. My name's Mark Helm, and I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Self-Storage Quick Start Academy. And what I do is I support the small investor who wants to get in the self-storage business or who wants to grow their self-storage business, do so strategically in a way that creates true wealth and a fulfilling career. And we have an upcoming live virtual boot camp February 4th and 5th. More information on that will be coming out. There's also the on-demand self-storage boot camp, which is cloud-based. All the training videos, all the forms, all of the forms we use in our business. The boot camp is designed to take you from wherever you are all the way to putting your first or your next self-storage facility into service. It's the premier training I offer. And it's geared around the reality of what's going on today in the self-storage world. We're going to talk a little bit about that today in this episode. But we've been in a series of four other episodes around raising money for your self-storage projects. In episode 316, the first, we talked about who investors are, the difference between investors and partners, what investors have their attention on, what type of investors are most likely going to be the kind that would invest in your self-storage deals. Then in episode 317, we talked about what are the types of offerings you would offer investors? What would a deal structure look like? What are the main types of deals that you can offer these investors? There's a million variations on each, but what are the two main ones? Then we talked in episode 318, we talked about where your potential investors are right now, how to connect with them. Then in episode 319, we talked about when do you connect with them? When in the process do you start actually talking with investors about investing in your self-storage facility, and what could that look like? What are some pathways to doing that? And today, in the final episode, we're going to talk about how or what you might actually say. What are the spaces that at least I've gone through as I presented opportunities to investors? Now, anything I say today, anything I've said in any of these episodes, if your attorney says something else, your attorney trumps me. Do what your attorney says. My experience is our attorney is our guide through this whole process. It's easy to run afoul of SEC guidelines and rules and regs, so get a competent attorney. We've talked about this in every episode. Get a competent attorney and work with that attorney. Anything an investor hears from me and anything an investor sees from me, my attorney has seen it. So let's back up a minute and let's get a high view before we start getting into the weeds about the spaces we go through when talking with an investor. Human beings live in language. Unlike any other animal that we know of in the universe today, our reality occurs inside language. Said another way, we live in story. So as someone raising money, in essence, what you are is a storyteller. Yes, you heard me right. You're a storyteller. Whether someone invests in your deal or not, in my opinion, it's a function of, are they inspired enough to take action? Now remember, you, most likely, and almost every investor I've ever met, thinks they make decisions based on logical information. What I suspect is really going on is they make decisions emotionally and then look for logic and data to back up their emotional decisions. Whether someone invests in your deal or not, in my opinion, the deal's got to be solid. It's got to stand on its own. The numbers have to work. It has to offer a competitive return based on other opportunities that investor may have. But whether they're going to invest with you or invest with someone else, in my opinion, is a function of, are they inspired by the story you're creating that this opportunity affords them? My experience is human beings don't take action like giving you money until they are inspired. So let's talk about the spaces as a storyteller now. You're a storyteller. Let's talk about the spaces as a storyteller you're going to go through. At least in the capital I've raised, here are the spaces I go through when I'm working with an investor and I'm creating the story of this opportunity. So there's three spaces. I don't have a script for you. Obviously, every self-storage deal is different, but no matter what the deal is, these are the spaces that I take a potential investor through. Now, again, I'm not dealing with institutional investors. In other words, I'm not dealing with people who invest other people's money. I'm talking directly to an investor. So the first space I take someone through is the story of self-storage. I don't start with me. Most people they're going to talk to will immediately start with who they are and how great they are and why they have earned the right to be at the table talking to this potential investor. At least that's what I usually see. I don't start there. I start with the story of self-storage. No matter what that potential investor thinks they know or does know about self-storage, you know, I might not be in this space as long with someone who knows about self-storage, but most people think they know about it, but most people really don't. But when I start talking about self-storage as an asset class, the benefits that self-storage has as an investment, things like, in essence, it's a steel wall and a concrete floor generating apartment-type rents. There's very few ongoing capital improvements, unlike any other commercial real estate asset class that you can invest in. The very few capital expenses you have, a small, and I mean 25 cents or less, a square foot per year, reserve fund will handle those ongoing capital expenses. There's no commissions. There's no tenant improvements. There's no appliances. There's no carpet to replace. There's no painting of units. Self-storage is the lowest foreclosed on asset class that there is of any real estate, commercial or residential, and on and on. And I talk about a little bit about the history of self-storage, and it doesn't take long for an investor to actually begin to get why self-storage as an asset class is a great investment. I actually can tell when that happens, and then I don't continue going on. When I see that they get it, I kind of stop there. I make sure I've covered some of the main points, but I'm not going to dwell on it. But I'm not going to go any further till I'm clear that that potential investor gets what self-storage really is as an investment. And usually what happens at this point is that potential investor, something will click, I will get it, their energy will shift, something will change. And then they're starting to look real close at me, like, okay, who are you? And that moves me into the second space I move through. That's when I talk about me. Now, I don't dwell and go about how great I am, but I spend about 10 minutes in this area, and I tell my story inside the self-storage story. And you will tell your story inside the self-storage story. So now they know the story about self-storage. Now you create your story inside that. You know, most of you know, if you've watched, been following me long or read the book, you know, I'm a commercial real estate agent. I was in the office business primarily. I managed and leased and sold office buildings. That's the majority of my practice. Then I got a call from an acquisition director at a REIT. I went out and started showing self-storage to this acquisition director. It didn't take me very long to really see the benefits that self-storage had compared to everything else I was involved in selling. And then I tried to figure out how a guy like me can get in this business. So I created my story inside the self-storage story. You create your story. My story is not important. It's your story that's important. And here's my goal here. I know that not every investor is going to invest with me. I mean, that's just a fact. But when that investor leaves our meeting, whether it's online, you know, with Zoom, or whether it's in person, every time that investor in the future thinks of self-storage or sees self-storage, they're going to think of me. They are going to equate me with self-storage. That's the space of number two. I create my story inside the self-storage story. I don't tell them about how great I am. I'll talk a little bit about my track record inside the self-storage business, because I have one now. When I did my first deal, I didn't have a track record. But I don't dwell on me. What I'm doing here is I'm creating relatedness with them, and I'm weaving in information about the self-storage industry and the self-storage business to let them know that they're sitting across the table or looking at someone on the screen who knows about self-storage. Now, again, high level, what there is to know is the investor thinks they're investing in a deal. They are, but not really. What the investor is really investing in is you. And in this phase, I'm not saying this, but who I'm being and what I'm saying points to that I'm someone who's trustworthy. I'm someone who has a plan and a strategy, and I'm someone who knows self-storage. Now, when I did my first deal, I had no track record in the self-storage space. But what I did was I had studied the industry like you guys are doing now, or many of you are doing now, and I weaved into this part things like 7 out of 10 decision makers in the self-storage, you know, deciding whether they're going to rent self-storage are women. And what women are looking for is safety, cleanliness, and those are more important than price. So we're designing a asset. Our deal is going to be a deal that would appeal to women. Now, I read that information in the self-storage almanac, but I designed my business strategy around it. And I used information, I used data about the industry, because I didn't have a track record. I didn't have historical numbers and experience to point to, but I used industry data, and I weave that into my conversation all through my presentation to the investors. I would say stuff like, we know that the vast majority of our customers live 5 miles or closer to the storage facility. So we will hire a third party independent feasibility report specialist, somebody who specializes in self-storage. It's real easy to know who our customers are because we know where they live. And that person will quantify what the current demand is based on the population and what the current supply is. And we'll know what our risk level is going to be. You can't do that with anything else but storage this accurately. Why? Because our customers live right there. Now that I'm in the business, it's changed a little bit because I've tracked it, and I know that on average, our customers live 3.2 miles away. But when I first got going, I used industry statistics. So I wove these facts into my presentation so that the investor would, one, feel like he was talking to somebody who knew what they were talking about, and two, to create some level of trust to reassure them that I'm someone who knows about the business and I have a strategy. You will see, the face softening, you will see the investor shift in how they're sitting, what they're saying. Once they get past who are you and what do you want from me, then, and there's some level of confidence built in me and some level of trust after about 10 minutes of talking about my story inside the self-storage story, now they can hear the deal. Then I begin to present the very specific opportunity that I have in front of them. And I do it at a pretty high level. I try not to get too much in the weeds in the initial presentation. In other words, I'm not going to get into the details of the proforma here. I'm going to start at a very high level. Then if an investor wants me to go there, I'll go there. I'm going to give it to them to take with them or to show their CPAs or their attorney, or I'll do it at another time. But in my initial presentation, it's a very high level. So what might that high level look like? Well, it would, usually I'm using PowerPoint, and it would look like a picture of the property that, or the opportunity that we're buying, or the land that we're buying. And if I'm doing expansion, for example, is we're buying this existing facility, 25,000 square feet for $2 million. We're going to expand it. We think there's demand in this submarket, in this trade area, for another 25,000 square feet. My preliminary budget is $1.2 million for that additional 25,000 square feet. We'll have $3.2 million in the deal. I think it's going to take 18 to 26 months to hit stabilization on the expansion, which is about 88% occupancy. And when we do that deal at a 6 cap, is going to be worth $4.9 million. We will have made 1.6 or 1 point whatever that number is in equity, and you'll see in the performance that we anticipate a 10 to 12% cash on cash return the first year we're stabilized, and we anticipate that going up to 16% during the life of the project before we sell it. And once we sell it, it looks like over a 7-year period or a 10-year period, whatever your business strategy is, it's a 19% internal rate of return. And I'm that high level here. Then if the investor wants to get into the weeds, we'll do it. I let them see that there's a backup package they can take with them. We'll go over that at a later date. Here's why. I want them inspired. I want the story of this deal to inspire them. There is nothing inspiring about numbers. There's nothing inspiring about rates of return. What I want them to do is picture themselves investing in a deal that we're putting together for $3.2 million. We're going to do a value add play, and when I'm done, it's worth 4.9 or whatever the numbers are. That's what I want them to focus on, not the minutiae of how I got there. That's for a later date. That's for after they're already in their head and have already told you, I'm real interested in this deal. Then you can go through that with them. Now, if they want to go there, I'll go there. Most don't, is my experience. Remember, There's nothing inspiring about numbers, and investors invest when they're inspired. Most think they're analytical, data-driven investors. Consider they're not. Now, I don't relate to this like it's the truth. I just, it's been my experience that that's what's so, and I've organized myself and all of my presentations around that, and it served me well. I usually present it in a slide deck, again, very high level. I have pictures on every slide deck, not a bunch of words. Pictures and bullet points, not that I want to read it to them, it just lets me know where in the presentation I am with them. Then I have a backup package that has documents that my attorneys put together, and it has my performa in it, information on the deal, information on me and us, and I let them take all that. I'm not going to go through that initially. Or I'm going to try not to. I'm going to keep it inspiring, high level, and motivating. So I'll end this kind of how we started it. As human beings, we live in story. When in prehistoric days, we would sit around the campfire at night and tell story, myth. We live in that. And raising capital is no different. Investors will invest when they hear a compelling and inspiring story, and they have confidence in you and what you're up to with this opportunity. Then if the numbers are anywhere near what they can get in other types of investments, you have a really good shot at capturing their attention, especially if you've done the things that we've talked about in some of the previous episodes and incubated them over time. So in conclusion of this series, this has been a very high level at looking at how you can raise money from individual investors for your first or your next self-storage deal. There's a lot of detail I haven't gone into, what's in private placement documents, accredited investors, your attorney can take you through all that. I'm pointing the highway, the direction to go to. I am not an expert at raising money, but I've raised millions of dollars. I surround myself with experts to make sure I don't say or do anything wrong, but I'm the one that finds the deals, analyzes the deals, and presents the deals. That's how I'm relating to you as, and you will get a team in place that will support you in creating the right documents, having the right, having all the I's dotted, the T's crossed. So if you're gonna be raising money, I think you now know who to talk to. If you need more, you now know the difference between partners and investors. You know kind of what they're focused on. You know where they're hanging out. You have some suggestions on what kind of platforms to use to develop your relationship with them, incubate them. And now once you have an opportunity standing still, literally I just shared with you like how I do it, what I've done to raise the money I've raised. And believe me, if I can do it, nothing special about me, as you can see, you can do it too. And finally, I'll end how I started the entire series. If you're going to be raising money, get a competent attorney who knows what they're doing in syndication and private placement to help you, guide you, and direct you. You do all that, you will raise money for your opportunities in the self-storage business. Thank you very much. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer. That is the financial analysis tool we use that creates the performas and the reports that ultimately what I'm showing our potential investors. If you're using Excel, great. But I invite you to really take a close look at the Storage World Analyzer, especially the reports that it presents. I think you'll be impressed. Creating wealth through selfstorage.com. Click Storage World Analyzer or go to storageworldanalyzer.com. Thank you. I look forward to being with you in the next upcoming year. I'll see you then.